All right. Well, I'm excited because I want to get into this word because we're about to end our series on love. Okay. Okay, well, that's good. That's good that you're here because you couldn't care. I just want everybody just to, raise your hand if you want to hear what God has to say to you today. Like, who you want to hear, man, God, what you got to say to me? Because, listen, every single time we open up this word and every time we talk on scripture, guess what's happening? God's speaking to you. So I want you to just raise your hands real high. Raise them high, touch the sky, raise them in the air like you just don't care. Anyways, Kiefer, you be getting me, bro. Thank you, man. Kiefer be getting me. But raise them high, and we're just going to pray this. Say, God, open up my ears, open up my eyes. I want to see and hear what you're saying. God, open up my heart and let your word transform me. All right, put your hands down. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, I ain't here for you. I'm here to hear what the word of God is saying to me. Turn to the other neighbor. Say, neighbor, listen, I don't care about your drama. I don't care about your shoes. I don't care what's in your pocket. I'm trying to hear this word. Say word. Bless it. All right. Bless it. Bless it. Bless it. Bless it. Awesome. 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 Cool. Yeah. Bless me, Jesus. All right. All right. So last couple of weeks, we've been talking on Matthew chapter 22. This is a portion of scripture where Jesus is asked a massive, massive question. He's asked, hey, what is the most important commandment? Someone say commandment. What's the most important commandment? So in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39, it says this. Teacher, which is the most important commandment? Someone say commandment. Say it again. Say commandment. What's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and all your mind. Jesus is saying, listen, you've got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know what the crazy cool thing about heart and soul means? In the Greek, it means this. It means your mind, your will, and emotion. Jesus is saying the most important commandment is that you love your God, let you love God with everything inside of you. Now, when we hear commandment, we talked about this the first week. When you hear commandment, we kind of think of authoritative, like, nah, you better do this. Like, we might hear, like, when Jesus is saying, what's the most important? He said, you better love God. You better love God. Like, we kind of can think of it like that. Like, if someone came up to you and said, hey, I need you to be my friend. I'm like, that's cool. I need you to be my friend. That'd be kind of like, oh, whoa, too much. But you know what the word commandment means? It means authoritative warning. So Jesus is saying, hey, this is, yeah, love God. But it also means this authoritative prescription. A prescription. He's saying, you know what? What will heal you is if you love God with everything inside of you. What will heal you will heal somebody else. Who's ever been sick before? Sick? Oh, you're sick right now. Oh, Jesus, we're going to pray for you, though. Who's been sick before? I'm talking about, like, sick. Like, you had to go to the doctor. Like yeah, that, like, the, like, bird flu, you had a flu, you was throwing up, snotting up, like, three different colors, like, green, brown, yellow, turquoise, who knows? It's coming all out. You're throwing up, you're snotting up, it's going out the other end, too. Can't eat nothing. You're coughing up, can't sleep, nothing. What happens? You go to the doctor, right? Listen, You go to the doctor. What does the doctor give you? A prescription for medicine. Antibiotics. That's medicine. It's a prescription, though. They give you a prescription so that what? That you can get better. So commandment is actually a prescription. And Jesus is saying, hey, the prescription for your life is that you would love God with everything in who you are. Every problem that you will face, everything that you have faced, is healed with this love. The solution to everything that you can ever go through is to know love, His love, to know God's love, and that it would be that you would be full in your mind, your will, and emotion. So, that's what we talked about on the first week. Here's the thing about it: we can't love God with our own strength. In fact, it's impossible. But here's how you love God with your whole heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You have to first know that you are loved. You first have to know that, man, that God has loved you. You see, in order for us to love, we must first know that we have been loved. In 1 John 4:19, it says this: we love God because He first loved us. Listen, it's impossible for you to do all the things that you think God wants you to do. In your own power, it's impossible. But through receiving His love and receiving grace, everything is possible. Through receiving God's love makes you able to love Him with everything inside of you. You can't do it just on your own. You see, if it was, it's impossible. You have to first know that, man, wait a second, God loves me. God loves you so much. Say, God loves me. God actually really, really, really loves you. It's not just this, man, I love you because, man, because you're there. It's like, nah, He loves you. And because he loves us, that's what we talked about on our second week. We can love ourselves. Because in Matthew chapter 22, He gave you the first command to love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And then He said, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the crazy thing about it is you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself, and you can't love yourself unless you know that you've been loved. You see, when it comes to loving yourself, we had the homie Trinity Moore. She gave a banging message on loving yourself, and she gave us 4 points of why we should love ourselves. First one is this: because He first loved us. That's what we just said. 1 John 4:19, we love God because He first loved us. Second is that He forgave us our sin and shortcomings. You see, in 1 John 1:9, Scripture says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. What's that mean? You know that sin that you always keep on messing up. Like for me growing up, it's been like, I'm going to live for Jesus. Oh God, I'm back in sin. I'm going to live for Jesus. Oh God, I'm back in sin with the same. I'm going to live for Jesus. So, but now it's like this roller coaster thing. And if you know anything about me, I can't stand roller coasters. I legit hate roller coasters. And if Christianity was a roller coaster, I want to get on it. If Christianity is you struggling with sin and then you trying to live for Jesus, but then you struggling with sin again and you trying to live for Jesus, if it's like that, man, get on out of it. But it's not. Bible says this, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Meaning this, that when you sin, God's like, dude, you confess your sin, boom, the blood of Jesus covers you. And He sees you as whole and as pure and as clean. And the crazy thing about it, because most Christians end up just filling ourselves with condemnation of, man, I wish I did this, man, I'm still in this and this and this. And God's like, what is wrong with you? I'm not even looking at you like that. It's like, dude, I've cleansed you. You're good. I don't even remember what you did. He says he casts your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. There's actually a sea named forgetfulness. So I was like, yo, God, how did you got that? But he's like, it's there. Listen, we can love ourselves because we are forgiven. That even in our sin and in our shortcomings, God doesn't see us with sin and shortcomings. He doesn't see us with our own insecurities and our own mess and our own stuff. He sees you as whole, as clean, as beautiful. The third thing of why we can love ourselves is, we've been created with intricate value. In Psalms 139, you see this portion of scripture of man, God formed us in the womb. He knew us before we were born. The dude has more thoughts about us than the sand on, at the beach. He has more thoughts about us than the stars in the sky. That's billions, y'all. And who knows, trillions. And the crazy thing about it is God says, man, I got more thoughts about you than all of that. Psalms 139 shows you that. I encourage y'all to read that. And so number three, we've been created with intricate value. And number four, we are a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. You can love yourself because you can say, I am a masterpiece. Why? Because God took his time when he made you. In Ephesians 2:10, Jesus, says that we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. That, yo, when God made you, he wasn't like, I'm going to do this. Oops. But that'll do. if he treated you like you treat your art project, like, let's try that. Ooh, it's kind of, if you're looking kind of crook your head right there. Oh, it kind of looks cool. I mean, he knew it wasn't like that. No, he spent time, effort. He did painstakingly details with you. Like, dude, he looked at who you were in himself and said, man, that has to happen. And he made you. And there's no oopses or accidents. There's no random blot stains. You were made with intricate value and you were made to be a masterpiece. Some say, I am a masterpiece. Listen, when people try to call you and say that you're this, you're like, you're that, that you finally looking, that you this and that, man, you can know that, man, that you've been loved by your Father and he made you, and that you're a masterpiece. That is super, super good, right? Y'all listening? Unless y'all want to preach. Okay, then. Oh, you want to preach? You preach next week, bro. We look at that because that's super cool, though. That, okay, now we can love God with all our heart because we can receive God's love. And when we receive God's love, we can love ourselves. So now we can actually love others. We can actually fulfill that second commandment that's just kind of like the first one, that we can love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and that we can love our neighbor as ourself. So what do you think God means when he says neighbor? When he said you should love your neighbor, is that like the old lady across the street that you're like, oh, we never see her? Or that, that kind of creepy next door neighbor when you go outside, he's always there. And you're like, have this awkward, like, hey, Mr. Crenshaw. And he's just like, y'all know those like kind of like you like, that's a nice person from afar, but I don't know if I would, you know, are we talking about those type neighbors? I don't think so. I think when you look at actually the word neighbor, it actually means anybody that's near you. It means anybody that is near you, that's in your vicinity. That means anybody. We are called to love everybody. Who in here says, you know what, Pastor Sam, that's all great. That's a really good thinking, but that's hard. who's ever like said, you know what, loving people is hard. That's three hands for me. Lord Jesus. Y'all be on the earth for 2 days, you know, man, that's hard to love other people. Y'all in middle school, come on, y'all. Some of y'all in high school, but you know, when it comes to other people, it's hard. You could have that one person that you see them in the lunch room and you just look and they just, something just irksome. Just like, why are you so irksome? Or you have that one kid who's always hating on you. Who in here says, yeah, I got a ton of haters. All these haters out here. Show them that meme. I saw this meme on Instagram. I thought it was hilarious. I said, Lord, protect me from my haters. And God replied, man, ain't nobody thinking about you. some of y'all, huh? I love how you're like, I know which year that meme came out because I know my meme. I love how that's actually a thing. Listen, memes are hilarious. But I know for a fact, some of y'all be coming in here and be like, Pastor Sam, man, just life's so hard because all these haters. And I'm just like, you're in sixth grade. get out of here. Look at what Jesus said about loving your enemies. Like people who don't like you, people who hate on you. Go to Matthew chapter 5, 43-48. You have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Isn't that so normal? If someone doesn't like you, isn't it in return you shouldn't like that person? It's human to be like, yo, if that person got a problem with me, well, I got a problem with them. Jesus is saying, isn't, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies. Someone say, what you say, Jesus? that's one of those things where you read it in the Bible, you're like, wait. What you say, Jesus? I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. God is saying, hey, just as I have loved you, you should love others. In 1 John, again, another scripture from 1 John 4:11 says this, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Loving your neighbors, especially those who treat you wrong, especially those who hurt you, super hard to do in your own power. But again, the way we love is not to get love back. It's superhuman, not superhuman, but human. Not natural. not that superhuman, but it's common for us to be like, if you don't love me, I don't love you back. That's conditional love. God's love is unconditional, meaning this, you don't have to love me back, but I will always love you. That's God's love. How did Jesus show that in his life? The dude came to save the whole world, right? Jesus came to save the world. He came to bring back those who were lost back into the family of God. He came to his own, and the Bible says this, his own didn't receive him. They rejected him. The same people Jesus tried to save are the same people that sent him to the cross. The same people that Jesus preached to and healed and all that stuff, and they saw all these things, are the same people that sent him to the cross to be beat, to be bruised, to be maimed, to look like literally like not human after he was beaten so bad. They sent him to the cross. They blasphemed him. They called him names. All these things. And you know what Jesus did? On the cross, he said this, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He came to save them, and he's saying this in return because they sent him to his death. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's something that we can learn from right there. That these people that he came to save, they sent him to the cross. He was resurrected, and guess what? The same people that sent him to the cross were saved later on. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Could it be that same kid that makes fun of you is like that? That we could say, God, I'm going to forgive him because he doesn't know what he's doing. Why? Because at the end of the day, there's a phrase that is so like true. Hurt people will hurt people. Say it again. Hurt people hurt people. People. Meaning this, if I've been hurt, then I'm gonna hurt others. That's all they know. But listen to me. The reason why they're hurt is because they don't know love. The reason why they act like the way they act, the reason why they make fun of you the way they make fun of you, the reason why they come against you because the way they come against you is because they don't know the love of God. They don't know who you are, and they don't know who they are. We got to think back, like, okay, God gave us his love so that we could love him in return and so that we can love ourselves. So if we can't love ourselves, then we can't love our neighbors. They're operating in that because they don't know God's love. It's this massive circle thing. And so the reason why they act the way they act is just because, you know, they're evil and they're like, oh, I'm gonna. It's because they don't know God's love. It's not because, oh, like, they're lost, guys. Like, people who act the way they act. Like, I was talking to a kid. I was so proud of him, too. This past Wednesday. We preached on loving yourself. And we talked about all the labels that we can get from the world in contrast to what labels God says about us. And this kid was getting made fun of. He's a sixth grader. He was getting made fun of. It would joke on him and all this stuff. And that night, you know, after hearing, some truths about himself, you know, that he's not rejected, he's accepted, that he is loved, he is valuable, all these other things. He came up, I got to pray with him, and he said, you know, I know those kids that are making fun of me, you know, they're just saying all these mean things, and it's not true, but I want to pray for them as well. That's a sixth grader, guys. That's your peers. That's your peer right there. A sixth grader came up to me and said, man, I know they don't know, so I want to pray for them. Listen, guys, we have a decision, we have a decision to make, that either we can just react the way it's normal to react when we get hurt, when that person says that mean thing about us, or we can choose to love and be the change for them that they need to have in themselves. To be the love that they haven't seen. When you love like that, when I was telling them, I told them, listen, the next time they try to make fun of you, you turn around and you look at them and you say, you know what, guys, you know, say what you want, but I just want to tell you, God loves you, and I know I'm loved by him. That will freak them out, dude. They'd be like, that's weird. In those moments, man, when they're blatantly trying to come against you, it's like, nah, I'm gonna make a blatant truth about you. You're acting like this because you don't know God's love. I'm gonna show you God's love through action. Show God's love through your actions. Even when it comes to people who are unlovable, even when it comes to people who come against you, even when it comes to people who don't deserve your love, it doesn't matter what they deserve because this is about grace. It doesn't matter what they deserve because guess what? We didn't deserve Jesus, yet he still came. We didn't deserve God's love, but guess what? He still loves us. So even when people try to come against you, don't take offense and don't be crippled by other people. We're not on this earth to get other people's love. We're on this earth to love people, to reveal God's love to them. Amen. Loving your enemies, man. Why? Mother Teresa said this. Who knows a little bit about Mother Teresa? I'm about to close with this, with a video too. Mother Teresa said this. She's this lady, awesome. She lived up to be like 90-something. She dedicated her life to serving the poor. Like, dedicated her, like, life to serving the poor, to living in obscurity. And they asked her, because she got this award for just, because everybody was like, oh my goodness, this lady's been, you know, serving the poor all her life, huh? And they're like, why do you do that? Why do you, you know, help the orphans and the broken and the poor and the stinky and the all these, like, like what society would say, unlovable people. Why would you love people like this? You know what she said? She said this, each one or everyone is Jesus in disguise. Every single person on this planet is Jesus in disguise. How do they realize who they are? By the way you love. How do they realize who God made them to be? How the way we love. Loving your enemies or loving the people that don't love you or who treat you wrong is how we love, man, is how they turn from being an enemy into a saint. I want to show y'all a video. I showed this in here before, but I was like, and there's plenty of other stories, but I just got this one of a video of what happened when in Egypt, this is about 4 years ago. It was super, super crazy persecution. Crazy persecution. And these Islamic radicals burned down a Christian orphanage. And here's what their response was. You got that video up? Gotcha. Turn your heads to the screen.
Turning now to Egypt, where over the past 2 weeks, the church has suffered its worst attacks in centuries.
Islamic radicalism spurred the violence, but as Chris Mitchell reports, the attacks were met with Christian love.
The city of Minya sits at the epicenter of the persecution against the Christian church.
This is the Emir Tadros Church in Minya, just one of the dozens of churches that have been destroyed throughout Egypt. This is a 100-year-old church, and as you can see, it's been completely destroyed on the inside. One Egyptian expert said the violence against the churches in Egypt is the worst in nearly 700 years.
This exclusive video, aired for the first time on nationwide TV, shows the inside of the sanctuary is completely gutted and the altar destroyed. Now the church uses this makeshift altar outside, and the pastor explained to us they started holding their services at 6:30 in the morning. Engineers say the church would need to be torn down before it could be rebuilt.
To be sure that everything is burned, they put fire in every place. Before this time, they make a sign for Christian places or cars or houses or buildings, and if the place has an X on it, they burn the place.
The churches weren't the only targets. Schools, cars, and businesses owned by Christians were destroyed. Muslim radicals marked Christian businesses with a black X before torching them. Perhaps most shocking was the destruction of this Christian orphanage.
This is a Coptic Christian orphanage called Christ Soldiers. Muslim mobs came in here and they destroyed the building, leaving about 200 children without shelter. But they wanted to leave a message for the attackers, and they wrote it on the wall outside. And it said, "You meant to hurt us, but we forgive you. God is love. Everything works out for good."
They also wrote, "Love your enemies." Evangelical ministries bore the brunt of many attacks. This is what remains of the bookstore in Minya of the Bible Society of Egypt. Their store in nearby Eshut was also destroyed.
For the last 130 years, we have been operating. We have bookshops in the streets, in main cities, in Cairo, Alexandria, Tanta, Upper Egypt. And it has...
That, y'all get what happened? Islamic radicals come through trying to burn everything that a Christian has. Christian orphanage knew they were coming, and they left them a message. "We forgive you. We're going to love our enemies." Pretty much, you can't take our love inside. Like, that right there is a testimony of legit persecution, legit thing, like legit. Like, they could have lost their lives, and guess what? We're going to love them. There's a story I read about an Islamic terrorist. They were chasing some Christian travelers. They got them, and right before a Christian man died, he gave him his Bible and said, "Take my Bible." Islamic terrorist was like, "Okay," killed him. Bang. Took his Bible. Had it, and he started reading it. Dude started getting visions of Jesus. Dude started getting visions of God. Not Muhammad, not the Quran, Jesus. And he ends up giving his life to Jesus. Goes to a church and says, "I was like this, but I want to be saved and I want to be baptized." That's crazy to me, man. That's supernatural. That's cool, isn't it? What if we had that same love for the people who treat us wrong? Who wants to love like that? Who wants to have the capacity to love like that? It starts with us receiving God's love, us loving ourselves, us knowing that, man, God's love is way stronger than anything that we could ever experience. Just want you to close your eyes. Just want you to close your eyes, close your eyes, close your eyes, close your eyes. Listen, if you're in this place and you're hearing about God's love was made manifest in the death and in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to take the sin of the world. That sin is this thing that separates us from God. And without Jesus, without accepting him, we're all doomed to destruction. The Bible says this, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That we're all born in sin, but we don't have to stay in sin, because this is how his love was manifest, that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And he rose again, and now we can have relationship with God. Now we don't have to go to hell. We can be in heaven forever. But even cooler is that we can have a relationship now with God. So if you're in the room right now and you're saying, "You know what, Pastor Sam, I have not received Jesus Christ, and I want to know this love God has for me." If you're in this place, raise your hand on a count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you haven't received Jesus Christ. If you haven't received Jesus Christ, I probably made that. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, okay, I got your hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? You haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. I got you. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, guys, let's just all repeat this after me. Repeat this as a family. Say, God, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. You came for me. You came to save me from my sin. I don't want my sin any longer. I don't want shame any longer. I repent and receive Jesus Christ. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my everything. I receive Jesus, and I receive your love for me, God. That's awesome. That's awesome. Y'all don't have to repeat after me, but that's awesome. Now, I just want everybody just to stand up with me. I'm just going to pray with y'all real quick. And then we're going to break out into some discussion groups to talk a little bit about more about loving others. I want you to just close your eyes, put your hand on your heart. Matter of fact, don't do that, but still close your eyes. If you're in this place and you say, you know what, Pastor Sam, I need help. Listen. If you're here and you're like, I need help loving others, especially people who treat me wrong, I want you to raise your hand right now. Come on. That's awesome, because God's about to do something. Put your hand on your heart. Say, God, I thank you that the love of God, that your love has been shed abroad in my heart. I receive your love for me. And God, I want to have love for others, even those who don't treat me right. God, I want to have the grace and love to forgive and to reveal who you really are in those moments. God, fill me with your love. God, fill me. Fill my heart. Fill my soul. Fill me with everywhere of your love. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Y'all can go ahead and sit down.